What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
The light bulbs are going off in my head.
This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me.
I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and in last week's episode, I talked about biblical stewardship of the body, so biblical counseling in the body. Today is a very boots-on-the-ground episode, and oftentimes I think it's helpful to start with the theology and the biblical studies and then explain the boots on the ground. So today we're going to talk about undiagnosed or diagnosable food allergies and bodybuilding. How do we think about those? How do Christians approach these undiagnosed or diagnosable food allergies and then bodybuilding in our last segment? So I want to start by just briefly reviewing the biblical principles of stewardship of the body. That number one, stewardship of the body is purity. It's not working out. It's not eating Cheerios for your heart. And it's not, definitely not running. Oof, gross. Stewardship entails being faithful to what God has entrusted to you. Some of you are athletes, and we praise the Lord for that, but to be a good steward of your body doesn't mean you're athletic. In fact, you could be highly uncoordinated and be a great steward. You can never work out and be a great steward. So in the end, we're just saying things like nutrition, exercise, and rest, those are all a means of us stewarding what God has entrusted to us. And there's not necessarily a goal. There's no goal. And this will apply more to bodybuilding that I'll get to here in a minute. But the Bible never tells us your body should look like this. This is how much body fat is acceptable versus unacceptable. Oh, and this is how much you need to bench press, guys. So get on my level. No, the Bible never says those, thankfully. But I do want to notice a trend with you. And I see this in a younger generation. And it's this idea of food allergies. And I don't mean like a peanut allergy. My boss has a peanut allergy. If he were to eat a peanut, it ain't gonna be pretty. I'm not talking about celiac disease where you actually have an identifiable allergies. I'm talking about self-identified food allergies. And there is a group of a generation that's coming up that has all kinds of weird idiosyncratic allergies. Gluten, soy, dairy, free range. I don't know. Like, it's hard to even keep up with some of what's happening. Even if you do a little bit of research, as I was preparing for this episode, the CDC says that food allergies are up as much as 50% since the 90s. Whoa, 50%. The 90s is when I was being raised. You know, you got like French fries and you got some chicken fingers one day. You got some pizza. Anybody remember fish sticks and Kool-Aid? Ooh, Jesus take the wheel. That was good. And in the 90s, we didn't know we could have food allergies. You know, if your stomach hurt, it's like slow down while you're eating. So when we talk about some of the differences now, you're seeing that there is this increased fixation on a person's health and on themselves. So medically, there's an argument that there's an increase, and you could go into the different reasons of why. Is it high fructose corn syrup? Is it vaccinations? Like, I'm not here to dabble in those things. I'm just saying that even there's an argument that the CDC is putting forward that this is increasing. But even experientially, I think you can see that there is this increased fixation on health. We have Whole Foods, we have Trader Joe's, we have the Sprouts of the world. If it's green and organic, it must be better for you. So we pay twice as much for it. I drink this juice because it helps my heart, brain, liver, big toe. So when we begin to think about an increased fixation on health, I want you to know that I might live in the epicenter of that, which is Southern California. I've noticed that one of the things about our weather being so nice is that people are often just more active. They're out and about hiking, running, doing healthier things. But I know, obviously, if you lived in the snow or maybe you're from the Pacific Northwest, that there are fun outdoor things to do, even if the weather's not great. I would say that there are parts of even North America and America in particular that they're less health conscious and more health conscious. And even as Californians, we are known by the rest of the states as being maybe a little too particular. We like our sparkling water a little too much. Where's the Perrier? Oh, I don't drink sweet tea. Of course not. It's bad for my thyroid, kidney, big toe. So experientially, even parts of the world influence this. I was counseling. In some of my counseling experience, I've noticed that there are people that are prone towards obsessing over things, and that food can become one of those fixations. One gentleman became obsessed with his blood oxygen level. So whenever he was traveling to different parts of California, he would take his blood oxygen level and say, ah, that's why I'm thinking clearer, that's why, so forth. And I've seen others obsess over very restrictive diets and how those restrictive diets are helping them function. When in the end, one lady that I witnessed this with, it wasn't the diet that was helping. It was that she was under so much stress that her body was struggling to hold on to food. So the diet was thought to be the solution when it wasn't really the solution. So I just want to help you think biblically about those undiagnosed food allergies, and let me give you some biblical counsel about them. Number one, if you haven't been medically diagnosed, instead of saying, I can't, approach it as I try to avoid. Or, you know, sometimes when I have those, it messes with me a little bit. But when someone comes at me and they're gluten-free and I'm like, oh my goodness, you have celiacs? And they're like, well, I haven't been tested, but when I eat bread, my stomach swells up. I'm like, me too. I just had a bowl of rice and I'm stuffed. So instead of seeing this as a definitive action, which begins to identify your life, I think you just biblically start to say, well, I try to avoid this. If I have it, the Lord is sovereign and good, and I'm not going to die. So don't let it be definitive. Let it guide you. Don't let it become how you see yourself. A second consideration is don't let food allergies be a means of being inconsiderate toward other people. In Romans 14, I would encourage you to spend some time there because this is about the convictions of eating food and food that was offered to idols and some of it just being meat or vegetables. Part of the principle that Paul gives them is that you're to eat in a way that honors the other person. Eat in a way, eat what's put before you. Some of us have let our self-identified food allergies actually promote being inconsiderate. Oh, I'm sorry, I can only eat at that one place 30 minutes away that costs $20 for a salad. And it's like, oh, okay, well, let's just drink a glass of water together instead of going to eat at that place. So some of us have let our self-identified food allergies actually make it difficult for others to be with us and be around us. So just be mindful of that. Eat in a way, bless the Lord, thank Him for what He puts in front of you, and do your best to not let your food preferences dictate other people and where you must do things. Third point, third consideration, don't eat out of a place of fear, but trust God to preserve your body. This is the starting of any bad food disorder where a person has an unbiblical relationship with food. You're afraid if you eat that thing, you will get a headache. You're afraid if you have sugar that the rest of your day is going to be ruined. But I want you to be mindful of the placebo effect. And that I think sometimes you believe it will hurt you, and it does hurt you, in part because you believe it will hurt you. One sip of a Coca-Cola is not going to kill you, most likely. I mean, consult your medical doctor, but I want you to just be thinking, like, if you don't have a medical diagnosed allergy, then instead of eating out of fear, trust the Lord and say, you know what, if I have a bite of a chocolate chip cookie, it will be okay. I will be fine. Don't let your so-called or your self-identified food allergy motivate you towards fear. Okay, so far I've said, don't let it be definitive. So try to approach it as I am avoiding this, or I'm doing my best to avoid this. Don't let your self-identified food allergies be inconsiderate of others. Don't eat out of fear. Next, I would say recognize that tenacity is required for the aches and the groans of the outer man. You know, some days you just feel awful. Physically, you just don't feel well. And part of what we're having to learn as a younger generation is that you just need to drive on. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, if your outer man is wasting away truly, then there are going to be days when you just don't feel 100%. So as a young person who's hearing this, and I'm talking about you all who might be 26 and down, 28 and down, there are times when you have a headache and there are times when your stomach doesn't feel well. And what would be my encouragement to you? Unless you have some medically identified issue, that you demonstrate tenacity and don't let that prevent you from being faithful to the responsibilities that God has given to you. So I have seen that there are those that become so self-focused with everything that they eat that every little stomach ache and every little headache actually prevents them from being faithful and persevering in something that's difficult. So frame that in a way of, let me be courageous and trust the Lord, and I don't feel well, but I'm going to do my best to persevere in what He has for me today. Last thought for you regarding undiagnosed food allergies would be, don't be self-focused. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, be others focused. Food isn't about you. It's about fueling your body to serve Christ and to serve others. So instead of sitting down as an act of myopic worship, sit down as an act of worship and service to others. Your body is for the service of Christ and the good of other people. So use it that way. Don't become a hypochondriac about every feeling in your body based off of your food. So be free, guys. In the end, be free. Some of you are actually erecting a prison that's going to be really hard for you to live in the rest of your life. Be free. God is sovereign. He is the one that can even use a chocolate chip cookie to heal your body if you really do believe that God works in amazing and miraculous ways. So let's be done. Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and we're going to come back and talk about body building. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as we continue to explore stewardship of the body. And as we do that, it got me to thinking about Dr. Gifford himself and one of his books, Hearts and Habits, How We Change for Good. This book dives into how our hearts influence our habits and vice versa, and it's so relevant when we're talking about caring for our bodies. Available now at transformed.org. Now, I also want to share some exciting news with you that is a pretty big deal around here, and that's our partnership with TMU, the Masters University. Did you know TMU enrolls over 3,000 students from all over the world? It's an amazing institution, and it's remarkable to see how this institution is impacting lives all over the world, all while maintaining a commitment to Christ. If you have a young believer in your home starting to prepare for college, I'll just tell you, there's no better place than TMU. You can get details right now at masters.edu/transformed. And you know, as we continue to talk about personal growth and change, it is crucial, as you know, to have a solid biblical foundation. And that reminds me of Scripture and Counseling by Bob Kelman and Jeffrey Forey, available at transformed.org. If you're looking for information for yourself to help you grow in this area, if you're looking to become a biblical counselor, if you're looking to just help people in your church, this is a book that you need to have on your bookshelf. It's a comprehensive look at how the Bible equips us to address real life issues, including those related to our physical and spiritual health. It's available again at transformed.org. And now, before we get back to Dr. Gifford and jump right back into our topic of stewardship of the body, I want to remind you about the importance of gospel partnership. Your support of our ministry make resources like Transformed possible. And we're truly grateful for everyone who is a gospel partner. If you feel led to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, then I want to point you to transformed.org, because we have all the answers to any question you could possibly have about what it would look like in your life. So get more information about gospel partnership at transformed.org. But remember, make sure you prioritize giving to your local church first, and make sure you're not strapped by any unmanaged debt before you consider additional support of our ministry. Again, all of the information at transformed.org. And now let's get back to our discussion on biblical stewardship of the body with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
All right, welcome back. We have been talking about boots on the ground issues. And in our last segment, I brought up the idea of undiagnosed food allergies. And I want you to just start to think biblically about those. Maybe some of this is even the generational differences that are happening, of an older generation that doesn't really give a lot of thought to their body and the food and how it affects, younger generations that are maybe swinging to an overemphasis on how their body feels and headaches and stomach aches and things of that nature. But take those biblical principles and apply them to yourself if appropriate, and then be free. You should be free in Christ, and your eating should bring about joy and peace and worship, not bondage and fear and deeper concerns. So in this last episode, or the last segment of our episode, I actually want to answer a question. So gentleman Justin Nichols reached out on social media and asked about this. And I've had multiple people say this where we're talking about just wise principles for bodybuilding, muscular development. And I want to give you a couple of takeaways, kind of taking the biblical stewardship from last episode and then applying it to bodybuilding. The first thing that I'd like to say, and I want to tiptoe and be very careful here, is I've yet to meet someone who is significantly overweight. Think obese. There's no debating it. Any medical doctor would say, yes, that person is obese. I've yet to meet that person who did not also have other breakdowns of personal discipline. Does that make sense? So if I meet a gentleman in the counseling process who is significantly overweight, my immediate concern is not about his physical health, and there may be concerns about that, but it's wondering, are there other breakdowns in personal discipline, like finances? Do you live by a budget, or do you live in a very self-indulgent way with your money? Purity. I'm very concerned about your purity. If you can't deny your flesh when it comes to food, are you able to deny your flesh when it comes to sexual immorality? So I do think there is an importance of disciplining yourself, and some of that process of a bodybuilding muscular development is very much self-denial, self-discipline. When we talk about that muscular development, strength training, bodybuilding is more of just trying to build a muscle for the sake of looks, whereas strength training often has a function. So that's why you can see those really strong Olympians and you're like, man, you don't look strong. You're just massive. Well, because they're not really training for looks, they're training for strength. Whereas there is a whole group of people that do more of a bodybuilding just strictly for the sake of looks and aesthetics. So that's kind of the delineation there. And if you've ever watched Wretched, Todd and I will discuss this too, because Todd holds a perspective that a man should be strong and a man should be able to defend and protect. And if he is somewhat emaciated or sickly, then he's dependent on his wife or he's dependent on his kids to do some of those things. So Todd would hold that perspective, and I would agree with him that a man needs to cultivate strength. But does that mean that a man should cultivate size or appearance? Well, that's technically a little bit different. There is a desire that you want to have a body that functions and that's strong enough to do what God's calling you to do. So this is where I do think muscular development is important. You want to have a body that can do what God's called it to do. And so for many of us, we do office work and our body doesn't have to do a lot, but it does need to be able to stand, does need to be able to sit. It does need to be able to endure long meetings and PowerPoints, and that we're actually training our bodies and there's a strength that corresponds to that type of endurance. Many of you, if you're working with your hands all day, you're active all day, you're using your body all day, you don't have to go do something else to be healthy because you don't have a sedentary job like I do. You're active as part of your work. If you're a coach, construction worker, whatever that looks like. But for those of us that work more office jobs, then we're thinking, yeah, I do need to work on strength training so I can use my body to do what God's called me to do. So I do think men should feel a compulsion to that. Women, we should feel a compulsion to, I don't know why I said we, there's no shocking news I'm preparing to tell you right now. Oh no, Dr. Gifford! That we as people, rather, I should say, we as people should seek to strengthen our bodies so that they can serve the Lord in the capacities that He's given to us. And this will make your ears perk up just a little bit. There, as a married person, there is a desire to be physically attractive to your spouse. And I don't want my spouse to struggle to relate to me. Hey there, honey, Pookie Bear, and my breath stinks. I got hairs growing out of every orifice on my face. I'm physically significantly overweight. Like I want my wife to find it easy to be attracted to me. So in that way, there is a sense in which a bodybuilding and a muscular development is not about you, but about serving the Lord and then serving others to include your spouse. So I think if you can approach it in that way, then yes, you can approach it in a way that honors the Lord. But if it starts to turn the corner as much bodybuilding and strength training is, where it's about you, how good you look, how good you feel, that you're now going to your 20-year reunion in high school and you're going to show everybody how awesome you are. Oh, go girl. I actually think you're motivated by the wrong things. So when does it actually become prideful? When your looks are about you, it is prideful. Or whenever it's about people praising you and worshiping you in the end. So if we're not careful, it moves from stewardship to self-exaltation. It moves from stewardship to confidence in the flesh. And if that's what's happening, then I do think that you're moving towards a worldly perspective. go to Gold's Gym and you'll be surrounded by all of your homies who are there doing the same thing. They're all screaming at each other in the mirror as they work out. And so if that's a tendency that you have, then I want you to say, you know what, maybe it is time for you to soft pedal back off of some of that strength training and bodybuilding, because you're struggling to do it in a way that honors the Lord, and you're struggling to do it in a way that serves other people. Another criteria is that you are fearful about missing a day of working out. There is a group of people that are fearful about missing workouts. Why? Because they're going to lose their gains. Their gains. When you're getting to that point, you're not a steward anymore. You're not seeing it as stewardship. You're motivated by fear. You're motivated by maintaining a certain size. If this is not your vocation and you're not a professional bodybuilder, then you know that you're erring. You've gone too far. This should be done out of trust and stewardship and faithfulness, and not out of fear. Last thought to consider when we're talking about, when does muscle development, bodybuilding, when does it start to become prideful? When you cannot enjoy the good gifts of food that God has given to you, you have stepped over the line. There are some people, and you would be maybe surprised to hear this, that some of the most physically fit people are some of the most fearful people. Give them a bowl of ice cream and watch them cry. I can't do it. Where's my protein? Oh, sugar. You're having to be careful that you can drink a Coca-Cola and be just fine. You can have a bowl of ice cream or eat a chocolate chip cookie and be just fine. And if you can't enjoy God's good gifts to you in small amounts and moderation, then I do think that you're going too far with your muscle development, bodybuilding stuff. So if you're like, you know what, Dr. Gifford, I reject that because it's more about high fructose corn syrup than it is Coca-Cola. Okay, that's fine. Then eat a fried chicken. Eat a cookie. And so if you're concerned about a particular ingredient, totally be concerned, but just make sure that you're not legitimizing your fear with biblical definitions. So what is this is the final question that I'll try to answer. What's the line when you are working out where you're trying to wear clothing that is functional and breathable versus clothing that is immodest? And I think this is a helpful delineation. Let me give you just a couple of biblical parameters to think through. Number one, many people take the gym as like this safe space to be immodest. And as a Christian, I would encourage you to reject that mentality. When you go to the gym, modesty is key, probably more key there, because you're doing certain movements that are very vulnerable movements. So if I'm ever wrapping a blanket around myself, it's at the gym. So when you're talking about modesty, first of all, there is a level of modesty that the scripture speaks of, which is that you are focusing on the inner person. You're not being gaudy with how wealthy you are. Those are the principles given in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And 1 Peter 3 speaks of a woman being beautiful in her inner person, and that's the real beauty. But I want you to see modesty, what I'm speaking to is just making sure that enough of your body is covered and the things you're covering it with aren't too tight. What's the principle I would encourage you to follow? If you're worried about functionality, then just get a bigger shirt. If you're worried about breathability, get one of those moisture wicking shirts that's bigger. But as a Christian, don't go to the gym and lose your mind and start wearing things that are highly inappropriate, doing moves that are highly vulnerable moves. Seek to honor other people and protect your own purity in that process. Don't be a distraction, and don't license functionality and heat in the gym as a reason for you being immodest. I personally am trying to honor that, and I want you to think of this through the biblical lens, that if you're using exercise and heat and all of that to lose your mind about modesty, then I really do think that you're missing it and you're perhaps legitimizing things you shouldn't be legitimizing. So in the end, why do we want to have bodies that are strong and that are mildly in shape? To make much of Christ, to make much of Christ. This body is for Him and for His glory. That's the way you should see it. Why are you working out today? For the glory of Christ and the good of other people. Why do you want to be in shape for the glory of Christ and the good of other people? Not so I can live to when I'm 90. I don't even want to live till I'm 90 anyways. Why do I want to glorify Christ? Because that's the chief end of man. That's our purpose. And exercising is just part of that purpose. So if you're missing that in your exercising, rethink it, reel it in, tinker with what you need to be doing differently. Because in the end, we're here to make much of Christ, not our muscles. All right. Or our lack of muscles. Let me be done. Of course, I welcome your emails, greg@transform.org. And I do appreciate even you sharpening my thinking as you guys have asked me questions about these two episodes. So let me pray for us and we'll be finished. Lord, you have given us bodies to worship you and serve other people. So help us not to be so focused on temple maintenance and how can we strengthen these bodies that we're actually hurting that ministry toward others and not glorifying you, but in fact, seeing you as a means of glorifying us or exercise as a means of glorifying us. Lord, help us to be people that love you in every aspect of our life. We're bringing in subordination to your son, Jesus, including our bodies and how we can use them for his glory. And we ask for your help because we can't do this on our own. We become selfish and myopic on our own, Lord. So give us grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.